is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Rob Schneider's here tonight. God bless you, Rob.
Great to be here, Adam. Oh, Dr. Drew. Oh, it's the best. Rob, oh, these are my jokes?
I guess so. Rob's on Tonight Show tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, he is.
Those are his jokes. You want to read them now?
Okay, so we can preview them.
I don't think these are mine.
We can watch them tonight about 11.
We're just, you know, doing the usual stuff. I was talking about, this new trend with where women are, you have these beautiful actresses playing ugly women in movies.
Yeah.
Now, last year was like Nicole Kidman with like a.
Right.
She had a giant nose and.
Or B. Arthur and the Pamela Anderson story.
What's that one?
B. Arthur and the Pamela Anderson story.
That's not mine, I swear. I don't know who that is.
Don't read Rob's material.
This isn't mine. I'm
honest. It fits, doesn't it?
It goes with it.
And so this year is like Charlize Theron playing Monster, you know. And I feel bad for all the unattractive
who lose out
there, who can't even get a job playing an ugly woman.
Right. Guys, guys got to drink a 12-pack to F you, and you can't get any work as an ugly actress.
You know what? It's never going to get reversed.
No.
You're not going to have the unattractive women that they beauty up. You know?
I was saying this today with, I saw like 15 animal commercials. Speaking of the animal, we'll get to that in a second. But for the Super Bowl, there was like monkeys and dogs and cats, and there was a donkey. It was all, every commercial animal. And I was thinking, this is putting good human actors out of work. No residuals. I'm trying to think. How does the animal get paid? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the trainer gets paid.
The trainer gets the same?
I was working with these animals, and I knew that these animals don't know that they're in a movie.
They don't, they? Don't.
But this is interesting, because the really smart ones don't work for food. It's a relationship.
Oh, really?
And they're not forced to do things. If they don't want to do it, they know they can't.
Interestingly, another thing, I was expecting to see Colleen at the Survivor reunion. You know,
yeah,
the
I wasn't sure she was going to be there either.
She wasn't in that.
No, I don't know. I think she's over it.
Well, let me ask you, speaking of animals and the animal, and you had all kinds of animals in the movie, which one surprised you the most?
Well, the one that almost tore my arms off was that the only time I was scared in the movie was the orangutan.
Yeah,
there's only one guy in the world, Bobby Bersini. He's used to be in Las Vegas. He's the guy who did, you know, the Every Which Way But Loose, you know, with Clint Eastwood. And
he got in trouble for, there was a video of him beating the crap out of his orangutan.
And let me say, what happens is one of his disgruntled employees, and isn't it always a disgruntled employee, and he videotaped, what happens is you got a full-grown orangutan. It is 7 times stronger than a person. If you don't grab a hold of it, and the way to like calm the orangutan down is to grab it by his chest there and give it a twist.
Really?
And say, chill out.
That's what you do with Adam all the time.
Wow.
Yeah, just like grab it and twist and say chill.
Yeah.
Because otherwise things could get crazy. So anyway, he did. He got shut down, Bobby Bersini's. First of all, you can't work with the great apes. The chimpanzees, the apes, orangutans, after they get, forget about even an ape, you know, chimpanzees and orangutans, after they become adolescents, forget about it. Because they could kill you.
Yeah.
Once they get those incisors, it's just about the pecking order. You know, it's like, I've got to be bigger than you. And once they start losing the fear of you or whatever, it's like, I got to top this guy. And I just hear these horror stories. This one guy who had a scar all the way up his neck and up to his face and said, what happened? Well, I was working with orangutan and I was comfortable with it, and I was driving my pickup truck, and it just attacked me. And
while he was driving.
I never even saw it coming while he was driving his pickup truck, and it just went mental on him.
And he just
well, maybe like 10 years old.
Maybe he didn't want a signal like Clyde.
Yeah, but he just it went after him, and
wow.
then literally, you know, he was fighting for his life with the damn thing.
Well, that's the thing. We used to work with some chimps in the man show, and something I didn't know about them is as soon as they hit like 2 years old, they're no good anymore. I mean, you can't work with them.
No, after 10, after like 10 or 11.
10? Well, I thought they said, look, when they're young, you know, maybe a little hyperbole here, but when they're young, you can work with them. When they get older, you can't work with them.
No, you're exactly. Because they become, you know, they want to be the alpha male. They want to be, you know, they do the pecking order. And the thing is, it's not only that it's physically, their bone density is so much as like 9 times stronger than you. It was explained to me like this, because whenever I'm going to work with an animal, I said, what's the worst thing I could do to this thing?
Right.
Tell me about it. And they said that you got to understand that the density of it is like 9 times more dense than you, or maybe 7 times. So for instance, if an ape or a chimpanzee drops from a third-story building, it would kill us. Yeah. It would just get up on the cement, get up and dust itself off.
Right.
And you feel it in the hands and the arms. And what it also has is the thing that scares you is the adrenaline rush from a great ape. Mm-hmm. Is 9-to-1 ratio, like the most adrenaline you could ever have if you're in if you're getting a car accident or whatever,
right.
or about to get, or right. you got a your car lands and you got on somebody's leg, you got to lift it off. It's
right.
your kid.
Right.
You get a 1. That's the most you can get is up
right.
to a 1. The ape is 9.
That's why I drive with a chimp. I know your friend had a hard time in the cab, but if I get trapped under a car, then now who's laughing?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm
but
saying?
But that 9 ratio, though, the
That's
difference with the strength of it, it basically, and it's so fast. He said,
right.
my friend, Bobby Bersini, said, hey, Robbie, it's so bad. I'm going to tell you. I'm not saying something's going to happen, but if it did happen, it'd be bad for you.
Yeah.
Bad for you, bad for the movie, bad for me.
And I always I don't know what it is about foreigners with their crazy ominous warnings. Like they do that stuff, but like, don't worry, if it happens, you'll never know. You'll never know. You'll never know. If you wake up, it'll be in the you won't know. But you won't have time to scream.
He had this 14-year-old orangutan, this full-grown orangutan, and he just looked at me and said, I've never seen her do that before. I said, what?
What?
He said, I'm just saying it's something bad's going to happen, but if it did happen, it'd be real bad. And I went, okay, let's get it the hell out of here.
I got attacked by, I did this thing where I let myself get attacked by a police dog once, they put you in the outfit.
That's
the thing.
Not fun. It's still scary.
Not a good time. And, again, the guys who train these animals, like I said, but they're sort of, ominous, sort of, this kind of, they never give you an answer that you want. Like, you say stuff like, well, first they give you the freak out thing where they go, it's a switch. Once a switch is thrown, that's it. The animal's, it's a switch. Once the animal, when it becomes, so okay, they give you that one, the switch is thrown one. Then they give you this one. So I'm saying to the guy, well, I'm going to run and the thing's going to dive and take me down. Yeah, you should be okay.
He said,
keep your hands inside the protective jacket. Don't let them hang out. And I said, okay. I said, but now I'm wearing a helmet and I'm wearing this sort of flak jacket thing. And I said, what about my neck? It seems to be quite a good 6 inches of exposed flesh right there. And he goes, he should. Well, it's just, when they don't have an
usually,
answer.
But they usually go for the arm or leg.
Right.
That's what
right.
they're going to go for.
Right.
But I tell you, what's scary to me about the attack dogs is that they always teach them the attack word in German, which mm-hmm. says to me, well, it's got to be Dummkopf. And he said, dude, how did you know? And I'm talking to this guy. He said, that's Dummkopf is your dog's attack. He said, yes, it is. Don't say that out loud. And I said, well, if I figured it out in 2 seconds, other people are going to be able to figure this out.
Yeah.
Guten Tag.
Killed you. All right, so the orangutan was the scariest of the beasts.
Absolutely.
To work with.
What did he do to you?
Well, he just started to freak out. He just started, like, what happens is that the neck is just like this big neck, and it just they start actually getting like purple like hives.
Oh, and really?
They start like hunching down, and in other words, ready to attack.
Really?
And I remember being like scared and going, I don't know what just happened there, but this doesn't seem like it's going good. And just started doing this thing. And then it started like, making a gesture like it was going to start attacking me. And I thought, is that what's going to happen here? And he literally jumped in between it and then got it and it was gone.
Twisted its hair.
And that was
it. Did the chest twist?
But that's actually what happened. On one time, there was a chimpanzee. Which was, the thing is, when the sun goes down, the chimpanzees go to bed. That's it. When the sun's up, they're up. And it's really simple. They keep it that way. And so it's 8 o'clock at night, and we're shooting the scene. I said, guys, I've talked to the animal trainer. I said, this is it. We're not shooting anymore.
Right.
And he said, it's one more scene. Let's just get one more take. And I said, that's it. It's done.
Right.
Let's go. And he said, let's just get one more. And I said, okay, you're responsible for what happened. Sure enough, the animal starts freaking out and starts hitting himself. Starts hitting himself. And like, he's frustrated. Like, I want to go to bed. He's like 5 in the morning to him.
My move.
So he reached out. So the animal trainer reached out and grabbed a chest full of air and gave it a little twist. And was like, hey, that's it. And I said, are you guys happy now? Now are you happy?
And it was there an animal that surprised you? Like, you thought, wow, I never thought much. I never knew this.
The seal was pretty interesting, because the seal, like, is another thing. Like, this really smart animals, it's a curiosity thing in the relationship with the trainer. Like, the first day, the seal didn't want to work at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird, because the seal has to have, like, a background, has to have, like, a back. It's like we're like a walrus we just work with on 51st dates. The thing is, it's a 3,000-pound walrus. And they said, what's the one thing I can't do? He said, don't stand between the walrus
and anything else.
And the water. because if he spooks, like a piece of white paper or whatever,
he'll go into the water.
He's gonna just break, make a mad dash for the water, and he's quick.
Right. You got a Mack truck,
and it's just like you just nothing left to you.
Right,
it'll just be 3,000 pounds of just being pieces of picking you up out of the water, and. So what animal is it? The seal. The seal also has to have like a back to it, and they have like a pool for it. And the first day, he wouldn't get out of the pool. And the trainer literally slept right next to like little pool. And he wouldn't do anything the whole day. So it's like, okay, whatever. We'll shoot something else. And then the next day, he got bored of just being in there and came out and just did everything we wanted him to do. And just was very curious and was relaxed and became comfortable the second day.
I like the seals. I don't see enough seals. I see too many squirrels and not enough seals. That's what I've decided.
Actually, there's sea lions you're talking about.
Oh, sea lions. Yeah.
Those are
yeah.
big animals.
I like the big. Bull seals or the bull walruses. Yeah, the ones. I saw them all basking on the beach one day out around Hearst Castle mm-hmm. looking
don't
like...
Don't swim with them. Don't get in the water next to them.
They look like they weighed... The bull ones look like there were several thousand pounds.
That they would hurt you, but like that's where the feeding of the great whites and stuff want to eat the seals. Like
yeah.
The girl is eaten by a shark.
Yeah.
She got eaten by a shark because she was swimming with the food.
Yeah, they
she
always
was swimming with seals. Don't swim with the food, then you're the slow food.
I always say to Drew, it's a little consolation to me when the animal expert explains what kind of food he thought you were. It's like, well, I'd rather it be a vendetta situation. Like he thought I was the guy who shot his brother or something. That's better than him just thinking you're food. Like and that there was nothing personal. That's the other one. Yeah, no ass. The nothing personal part.
I like it. It was a mistake. It was clearly a mistake. The shark had no intention of eating you.
No, he didn't know. He thought
he mistook you for another animal.
Scarier. More scary. You know what I mean? It's like if a killer who was going to revenge the death of his father just started killing everybody and people kept going, he doesn't know. He thought you were the guy. Yep. That's scarier, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And the part where we shouldn't be angry at him. I like that part too. Listen, I can get angry. You knee me in the balls. I'm angry. You take my arm off. Well, you do the math.
So Animal DVD comes out tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yes.
That's why we're talking about animals.
Well, what happened?
I thought I was here to promote 51st Dates.
Well, that too. We've been doing this DVD thing throughout the last few weeks, and we came up with the animal
uncut.
And I told, actually, Drew said, "Well, why don't we get Rob back in here? As long as we're going to do the promotion, and well, here we are." So the first five callers, 18 years or older, get on the air tonight. Oh, it's the first five callers.
Okay,
was it always that way?
No.
Okay. First five callers to get on the air tonight are going to win the... they got to be 18 years or older, are going to get a DVD, and it's an uncut version. Maybe you get the one where Bobby Barasini's orangutan is trying to sodomize.
I think there's some nudity in
Rob,
this one, honestly.
Yeah. So you can look for that. And it has director's commentary and Rob's commentary and deleted scenes and...
Does anybody ever listen to the commentary? I've never heard the commentary in any movie. Have you ever listened to that?
I never. You know what? I never have. And then I watched the movie Blue Crush, and I put it on the director's commentary, and they were explaining how they got what's-her-nose's face on the... You know, I was watching the movie, and I was thinking whatever the blonde chick's name is.
Yeah.
I was going... My God, she's surfing. She's doing these moves.
Did you really think it looked real? Because I saw it on the plane. It didn't look real to me on the plane. Maybe it's just the...
Well, if you watch it, when she's doing, you know, they're doing the footage of her surfing, you go, that's her face. That's on this, you know, naturally you always think, oh, it's some stunt chick who's surfing. And then there's a part where she'd cut back and come right at the camera, and you go, wow, that doesn't look CGI'd. I mean, the wave and the whatever. But they put her face digitally... put her face on the other person, which is a kind of an interesting thing, which is they didn't monkey with the wave and they didn't monkey with the surfboard or the body. They just took her face
and
put
it
on the blunt.
It looked
really good, yeah.
Oh, good, okay.
So I had to learn that.
I was just in Hawaii surfing out there and like with Adam Sandler, and he threw his board at me. I'm on the water, you know, I haven't surfed in like a year, and the board went right towards my head. And my big, fat butt, I couldn't get off the board, and I got hit in the thigh. And then this other guy went right into the rocks, who was a good, better surfer than us.
Well, did he get hurt?
Yeah, he got scraped up, like, from his thigh up to his, you know, above his stomach.
Well, as you know, as performers, Drew, this is the cash register. So, you know, if it gets hit with the surfboard, it's like when a Barasini's monkey's going down. You know, you understand? This is the money.
It's like Montgomery Clift when he got hit in that car accident.
That's right. Got all tore up.
No good.
All right, we got to let's take some calls, and then we'll talk about 51st dates and all that. It's got to be torture shooting in Hawaii, Andrew.
Oh,
bad times.
That's probably rough. Dave?
Yes.
You're 24?
Hey, Adam and Drew. Yes. Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Say hi to Rob good. Schneider, too.
Hey, Rob, how you doing tonight?
Good. How are you? What's going on?
I have a problem here. I just got out of a long-term relationship, and I've been seeing a new girl. And the first time I met her, we had sex, and it was just supposed to be a one-night stand. And I was becoming a little more. And now that I've been getting to know her, I've been having troubles getting it up. And to get it up, I've been taking Viagra.
And, yeah, how old are you?
24.
24? That's a little young to have this problem.
Well,
is she attractive?
I think it's more of a mental thing. I think I'm pretty attractive. I hope I am, at least.
Not you.
She.
She is very attractive. You find her attractive?
But for the record, you sound hot, Dave.
You know, it's
by
interesting.
The way, I'm picturing one of those cop mustaches from the 70s that with the pork chop sideburn. Like, guys from Chicago can sound... Mm-hmm. The guy's 24.
So 40.
It's like if you eat 15,000 chicken wings before the age of 25. Is this how you sound? Like, I mean, do you sound like you've just been drinking beer since age 7?
But what an interesting time we live in where a guy goes, yeah, it's because I'm nervous. I know it's a mental thing. So I take Viagra. It's
like, yeah.
Wait a minute. How am I figuring out what's going on mentally with you? Why do you not like her? Are you anxious about this thing? Do you miss the old one?
I'm very anxious about this, but, you know, for the fact of sleeping her in the first time, and, you know, first time I've met her, and...
maybe a little nerve-wracking.
But did you miss the old girl?
Yeah, I miss the old girl, but, you know, I'm pretty much over with that. What it is just, it seems like she tells me stories. I don't know if it's to make me jealous or not. But when she does, you know, it just gets to me and makes me think that she's fucking every...
Yeah, don't worry. We're not CBS or anything.
Wow. Now, Dave's got some anger issues, too, underneath there, I think.
Yeah, well, that's part of the thing. When he gets angry, it's like...
But she kind of likes to make you angry, I think. I mean, it's a turn-on for her. So is she...
No, let's not go further. It's getting bad.
He dropped the F-bomb. We had to put him on hold.
He knows what's going on here. He knows what's going on.
Yeah.
What are we going to tell him?
Is
he taking other drugs also is what I want to know.
Yeah, we can't talk to him.
I don't want to talk to him. He's
laden with expletives. Yeah,
that's right. Christina.
Yes. Hi.
Let's stop talking to guys on this show.
Yeah, I hear her.
No, I mean you too, Drew. Be quiet.
No, that's okay.
That's what I'm talking about. Christina.
Hi, Christina.
Yeah. Hey, what's up?
You're
guys?
20.
Hi. How's it going?
Great.
What's
great.
Up?
First, I want to tell y'all, I love y'all. I used to watch y'all on MTV all the time, and I listen to y'all every night on my way home from work.
Thanks, y'all.
I missed that show.
Yeah, me too.
Did you ever do that?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Drew.
The 90s are a blur to Drew. He's kind of like, what do you call it? What's that guy's name?
Timothy Leary.
Yeah, he's missing him.
He's missing a whole decade. What's happening, Christina?
Nothing. About 2 weeks ago, I was having some abdominal pain, and last October, I was really sick, and I had gallbladder disease, and I had emergency surgery and stuff, and throughout that time, me and my boyfriend just became abstinent because I was so sick, and can y'all hear me? I'm on my cell phone.
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. So I had surgery, and then after that, everything was good, you know.
Hold on a second. I just had an invention for cell phones. you need something built into the phone that just goes, uh-huh. Because the cell phone, like Drew and I talk every night on the cell phone, I think the thing drops off every 30 feet.
Are you still there?
I'm always like... And, you know, my mom, she, first off, she acts like she's a queen of Sheba. Are you there, Drew?
It'd be nice if it was some
I do drop off, and you're like, yeah, my grandma. You missed it.
I've been on talking for a half hour before, and that wasn't even there.
Yeah, I know.
Like, you should have something, just a constant droning, like, ding, ding.
Yeah, how about a little background music?
Or just maybe a little light or something.
A little music. Just a little music, so you know when you're on hold kind of thing, or you know when you're on the air.
How about, like, Deep Purple Burn?
I just, you can program it in whatever you want. I just want an actual guy going, uh-huh.
Ooh.
Every third uh-huh is a new. So it'd be like, uh-huh, uh-huh.
And then a guy who's on crystal meth. Uh-huh.
All right, so Christina, you had gallbladder surgery. You were not sexually active during that time. Then so, you got pelvic pain, and what happened?
Now what's going on?
Right. So I was so sick. When I started getting this abdominal pain, I was really scared. You know, I didn't know what was going on. So I went to my doctor, and he told me I had chlamydia. And my sex drive, I mean, hasn't been as high as it used to be.
Uh-huh. How long ago was that treated?
I'm sorry?
How long ago did you treat that?
I've been off my medicine. I was on doxycycline for 7 days.
Okay. Uh-huh. And the pain went away?
My boyfriend doesn't have any symptoms, but I know it takes 4 to 28 days for anything to start showing after sexual intercourse.
Can you put some antibiotics in his food without him knowing?
Yeah, I think someone's been doing that to me.
Now, what kind of doctor were you seeing?
My family doctor.
Because that's kind of an interesting choice. Is he an older guy?
I'd say he's about mid-30s.
Okay, because doxycycline is okay, but you're going to end up with a yeast infection and diarrhea. And did he test you for, did he think maybe you had pelvic inflammatory disease, or he knew it was just chlamydia?
Well, I went to the doctor, and then I went back 6 days later, and he told me that I tested positive for chlamydia, and he said...
I see. So he put down the I understand. He put down doxycycline in the meantime.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Okay, now what's... is this the boyfriend that you're with now? Is he the only guy you slept with?
No, I've been with other guys, but he's
recently?
The first one I've been with unprotected.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what is your question exactly?
Having a sexually transmitted disease, is that...
Her question is, when does the animal uncut version come out?
It usually only does if you have a lot of pain. It sort of makes you aversive to it, right? It's like, ooh, it's painful. I'm going to stay away from that. I don't feel very sexual when I'm thinking about STDs and pain and whatnot. But no, not in and of itself. It should not, not typically.
Answer to the animal question in stores tomorrow, by the way.
Now, wait a second. So you got to get this guy who's a good chance that he gave you chlamydia.
He has to be treated also.
You got to get him some antibiotics.
Well, I thought she said he was on.
Is he on it?
Is he on it, Christina?
No, he's not. But, he's in full-time school, and has a temp job. So he's. But, I mean, I told him it's no excuse to not go get checked out.
Wait, no, you don't... Listen, Christina.
You're going to give it to him.
He doesn't even get checked out. Both partners are treated. He just gets treatment.
Yeah.
I know that. See, I've been reading about it.
And he's not... Like, he's refusing to take and admit that
he's
has
not,
a problem.
Listen, once again, the young lady has the goods, and there's no sex. Very simple. No sex unless he gets treated.
He's on to me?
You, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, that was a subliminal message to you anyway.
Alexis?
We've been talking about that a long time.
Hi.
We'll tease your call and then go to break. You're 19?
Huh?
You're 19?
Yes.
You want to dump your boyfriend because he's on crack?
Yeah.
Well, don't rush judgment there. We got to learn more about this guy. Sounds like a winner.
He's not been home in 2 weeks?
Well, we're not living together, but I haven't heard from him in 2 weeks. I know for part of that 2 weeks, he was in the hospital because he used again and he was going to try and kill himself.
Okay. Good time.
Wow. You guys don't have any kids, do you?
Yes, we do.
Oh.
And she's got that voice, too. She's got the trauma voice.
You got that sexual abuse voice.
No.
What is it that sort of effed up white trash gene that has to push forward? Like, why is that so? What's so strong about that?
It's just
to reproduce.
Yes, it's just it won't be stopped.
it won't. What is that? Is it?
I've asked that over many many years of this show, and I can't understand. It's somehow going to fix everything. The child's going to fix it all. It's going to make everything fill that void.
Isn't that the sort of?
But what?
I mean, if in terms of the Earth, and,
what evolutionarily?
And its future,
what evolutionarily? What was the plan?
It? Yeah, like, wouldn't that be the dinosaur that didn't move fast enough? You're saying?
Yeah, what was the plan evolutionarily? It's why the chimpanzees are 7 times more dense than we are.
That's
right. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Why is that true? I know it's my density. Let's take ourselves a little break. Rob Schneider.
I think this is going well, though.
He's in here tonight. We got off to a good start. The Animal, which is coming out on DVD tomorrow, uncut, director's commentary, Rob's commentary. We'll give it away to the first five callers over the age of 18. Have we done that?
I think we've had like 4 or 5 callers.
Yeah, but what about that jack-off who used the F word?
Yeah,
he gets one, too?
He doesn't get one. 51st dates. When's that coming out?
All right,
Friday? February 13th.
A week Friday.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. There, buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tomorrow night, we got Aisha Tyler in here, and then Jeff Probst will be in here after that.
All right.
The Animal DVD, by the way, is going to be in stores tomorrow. And
special uncut.
I know we're sort of making fun of, you know, they always have a whole bunch of extras that no one ever gets to. But it is, and I guess they vary from DVD to DVD, to watch the director's commentary, to see deleted scenes, to have him explain why there wasn't room for the scene and that kind of stuff. I found it fascinating. Huh. I was glad I did it. And I suggest others do that when they pop the DVD in. I've only done it once on one DVD, and I've enjoyed it thoroughly.
I think I might want to do that with movies like Apocalypse Now, but like, you know, for like something about Mary.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean.
Yeah, there was a second jizz in the hair scene that we we had to pull because the ratings board got on us.
Yeah.
Anyway, people who so. Should we promote it anymore, or have we already given away the five CDs? You see what I'm saying?
Anderson?
We'll give away one more. What the hell? We got plenty of gifts. All right, so you call in. You're over 18. Hold on a second. Call in, you're over 18. We'll give you an Animal CD.
All right. They all keep hanging up, so tell them to stay on the line after we're done.
Stay on the line, you get yourself a
I like haven't given the information. You're
right.
Not getting the
That's
DVD.
Right. All right, so Alexis over here.
Is this the 19-year-old?
Yeah, 19, boyfriend, on crack, hasn't been home in a few weeks, been in the hospital.
Oof. Psychiatric hospital.
You have a child.
Yeah.
You got one kid?
Yeah.
And the phone line dropped out. Yeah, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How old is your child?
He's a couple months old.
Oh, he. I always hate to hear that. You know, she means, you know, another porn star, another stripper. He means another guy to stick me up at the ATM. That's rough. I'm sorry, I'm being selfish, but you understand as a mother, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you taking care of this child?
Yeah.
All right, so what is the question? The guy's already gone.
Yeah, I was just wondering if it was a good idea. Like, it was the right thing to do.
To do right what?
Was what the right thing
to
do?
Break up.
Well, all right.
Well, what'd you use to break up? A carrier pigeon? I mean, the guy's gone.
The
How does
guy
even know
is a crack
up?
Addict who's
and he's
trying to kill himself.
And he hasn't been home
What
in two
are
weeks.
You hanging on to?
Well, he don't live with me, so I don't even know if he's out of the hospital because he hasn't got a hold of me or his mother.
All right, hold on a second. What happened to you, Alexis? Were you in foster care or something? What happened to you? Why
your
do you sound
divorced?
So? Yeah, you sound so immature.
I'm a little person.
No. Were you physically abused in some way?
No.
Sexually abused?
No.
And nobody... Well, I guarantee you there's a ton here.
All right, what... Anyone drink in your family?
No.
Come on. What's up? And not adopted?
When did you stop going to school?
2 months into my senior year.
And when did you lose your virginity?
Senior year of junior
high. When I was 16.
16. And how old was the guy?
16.
And how'd you get stuck, you know, sort of wrapped up with a crack addict and pregnant?
But he was really sweet.
Yeah.
What the? And what does your dad do, by the way? This will tell it all.
Metal.
My dad's a security guard.
Uh-huh. All right. And he's not one of those guys with the attaché and the handcuff to the wrist going into the casino. He's more stand out front by the forklift guy, right?
No, he's actually he sits at a desk all day. He's like a supervisor at a security
Right, but company. The desk is out in the parking lot by a forklift.
All right, Alexis, here's the deal. Here's what you could do. These are your options. You can leave this guy and be done with it.
Yeah.
Which we don't recommend because you have a child with him, and he's going to have to be part of your life on behalf of the child. The other thing you can do is find ways to leverage him into some kind of treatment because he does not – I mean, he's already in on a psychiatric hospital. But he needs to be required to go to a sober living and to focus on a recovery
program. But it's
program.
Okay to break up with him, too.
Fine to break up with. If you stay with him, you got to go to Al-Anon. You have to. This will not work otherwise.
All right. Let me – I got a hypothetical here. The kid would stand a better chance if
with
A,
Barsini's
Alexis,
and monkeys.
And – yeah, raised him, B, Bobby Bersini, one of his chimps, raised it, or C, we hooked him up to one of those old medieval trebuchets, the old catapult. It worked on a pulley lever system, and we just fired him
anywhere, any direction.
just yes.
I vote for the trebuchet.
Yeah, trebuchet.
Absolutely.
We just whatever way the wind was blowing, we just point the trebuchet that way, just launch a kid.
And every time you mention better the animal trainer with the orangutan, all animal trainers named after characters in The Godfather.
Let me tell you about Bobby Pacinas. Bobby, let me tell you right now. He's a good man. He loves his animals. And he always paid on time. That's Bobby Pacini.
Yes. His trademark is he puts a big B in fecal matter on the chest of his victims.
Well, are you living with your folks?
No. We're on the next call.
Okay. We got her. But we can't live in the past. She, yeah, she but something happened to her.
Something very.
I can hear it in her voice.
I mean, she's maybe just neglect.
What does it mean for girls who use the baby voice constantly? What the heck is that all
about? It's arrested development from trauma. Something really crappy happened to them at that age, and they just arrest. In fact, a guy at the Washington Post.
Two things. But go ahead.
The guy at the Washington Post did an article on this because he heard us always talking about always nailing women in their 20s and 30s who sound like they're four. We'd say, you know, what happened to four? Nothing. Well,
and Tom Shales did
sexual abuse. Tom Shales did one of the articles too.
Get me started.
No, but what?
He actually did some research on it, and people who study voice and study language and whatnot say there is something like that that goes on. Now, something well.
So how do they get out of that? I mean, so this is a trauma but they're still talking like this, and I know a woman who still talks in this childlike voice, but she's doing okay now with her life. But she did have trauma.
Well, the voice is going to be. I mean, here's the thing:
voice may be fixed.
It may be, but when your affect changes, your voice changes.
Change,
I mean, in general, it's not just little girls. If you think about it, sort of racists sound like racists, and angry people sound like angry people, and nice people sound like nice people. You know what I mean? You do sort of sound like what you are, and the same with the victims and all that. Also, there's an alluring thing too. I mean, there's that sort of Marilyn Monroe thing.
They're trying to use their sex.
Yeah, their youthful sex appeal.
Right. Well,
to render themselves a victim once again.
But every facet of their being becomes about advertising their sexuality, whether it's visually or verbally.
They literally start fetishizing their entire body. Their voice, everything becomes a fetish to try to reenact a trauma.
But
fetishizing means in the rear?
Yeah, that can be.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
To reenact the trauma to gain power from
it? No, well, no one knows. It's probably why we do rituals and all the things. Okay. Humans are naturally drawn to recreate the traumas of the past.
So I would think that the woman who's been traumatized, whether it's a sexual abuse or whatever, will continue the sexual abuse over and over and over again to kind of say that she doesn't have a hold on her. It's
right.
No big deal.
That's how people sort of rationalize it. But the reality is it's probably some primitive part of the brain just driving repetitive behavior.
Oh, and plus, it's not always what they say it is. It goes down in their brain as that. I mean, we talk to women all the time that were sexually abused as young girls. And then they say, well, I was raped. You know, now they're adults. And you say, well, what happened? And it's like, well, we were drinking and we started having sex. And it turns out that the girl never told the guy to stop. She never pushed him away. She never cried for help. Mm-hmm. It just went down as rape. Every encounter goes down as rape. But whenever I think about the Kobe situation, I start wondering, is that girl one of our callers?
Of course she is.
The guy thinks, to be fair to the women, it's not 100%. You know, she's seducing him.
Well, there are real rapists out there.
Well, of course there are. Yes. What makes it even more blurry is they go for guys that are abusive.
But
they bring in the abusive, exploitative guys.
But I agree with Rob that it's unfair to the real rapists to call these...
You're right.
Amateurs like Kobe rapists, you know? No, it goes down... Almost every encounter with a man goes down as rape because that's the only thing they know. That's what they're trying to recreate, what they're trying to master. Right. And the guy just thinks he's sort of, there's some booze usually involved. And almost any time a guy's with a new woman, there's a little cajoling going on. There's always a little, come on, baby, I'm not going to tell her, whatever it is.
It should be at the... It's the woman who sets the parameters of the relationship, no matter what. Whether the guy's cajoling or whatever, it's up to the woman to kind of set the parameters for what's going to happen.
It never gets clearly defined.
Right.
They never, like, we talk to them.
So these women don't have parameters.
They don't have boundaries, no.
And they create things it's almost like there's a longing to create this,
yes,
reenact this.
There's a compulsion.
What do they get out of that?
No, see, you're trying to use your rational brain to describe a behavior that's irrational, right?
Right.
It's some kind of primitive drive. I'm actually trying to figure it out actively.
Please,
we're looking at it very
hurry, long. Please, would you, Katrina?
Hi.
Are you calling from the bus station, Katrina?
Sorry, no. I'm calling from my cell phone, and I'm in my boyfriend's car.
Perfect.
Right. What's up, baby doll?
I wanted to ask, like, a few things. First of all, I think you're really funny. We listen to you all the time, and I do watch the man show. And,
thanks.
The new man show or the old man show?
The new and the old.
Okay, all right.
I've been having dreams of, like, having sex with women, and I tell my boyfriend about it, and I've never been with a woman, and then when I do tell him these things, he's saying, well, that's your unconscious telling you, like, that you might like that. And also...
Sure. He works in a batting cage. He should know.
That's right. Your unconscious telling you might like that and videotape it.
And that's your boyfriend telling you he would like that.
Tell him you had a dream. You dreamt he quit smoking pot. And he'll say, oh, please.
That's your boyfriend's conscious mind saying he'd like to watch that.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's been asking me to have a threesome with him, especially now his birthday's coming up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, why wouldn't you? It's his birthday.
Sure.
You want a tie? You want a shirt? You want a threesome? What do you want, honey?
Man only turns 23 once in his life. He deserves something. The big 2-3?
It's Michael Jordan's number for crying out loud.
21.
21, okay.
There you
so,
go.
So he wants the threesome. Now, were you having these dreams before he was suggesting that you have these
threesome?
Oh, yeah, okay.
All right. All right. So are you thinking about getting him a threesome for his birthday?
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'll be okay with it, but other times I just feel kind of scared and I can't really see myself doing that.
All right.
It's going to screw up your relationship.
Yes,
guaranteed.
It will disrupt it.
Guaranteed.
How about you compromise, get him a decorative popcorn tin, like my cheap aunt and uncle got me when I turned 21. Three types of popcorn. What'd that set him back? $6? What do you think it was? $4?
$4.
Ah, oh, cheap bastards. Look, here's the whole thing.
It was your toilet for years. Come on,
all right,
you
please,
Drew.
Here's the whole
thing.
He used
to crap in a popcorn tin.
I got lunch. My stepmom locked me out of the house. What do you want me to do?
So he'd crap outside and shower in the sink. Shower in the
There's some trauma there.
I'd use a hose.
Yeah. Some trauma.
I was in the garage. It was tough. It was a long time ago. I'm over it now. So that's the important
People
part.
Complain those Barcini's monkeys have it bad. God's sakes.
Making your kid crap in the...
It's popcorn tin.
In the popcorn
it
tin in the garage.
It wasn't then, actually a verbal command.
Then emptied it out.
It was just sort of a math command.
That's got
like,
to affect
well,
your self-esteem
you
at a certain level.
It did, but I'm overcompensating now. That's the important part. I now crap into a silver. I only crap on a homeless guy who comes up to my house, and I pay him to let me defecate on him like Danny Kaye.
Danny Thomas.
At least one of them used to like to crap on
at least
somebody.
He had a glass coffee table.
That's what you hear. That's what you hear.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I either crap into that or a pewter urn. Those are my two, the homeless guy or pewter urn. It's compensation.
Why do celebrities all have to have some weird, weird-ass stuff?
I don't know. To me,
the same thing about the guy who played the attorney, Raymond Burr, I heard that about.
Oh, my God.
Who says these rumors and makes these rumors up anyway? I just hope they're all true.
Yeah. I know the Rod Stewart having the gallons of semen pumped from his stomach is true. Other than that, of course.
You were there.
And the Richard Gere hamster one is true. Those are the ones I know are true. Other than that, I can't verify anything.
I just like to know like how long it took and the series of to get a gallon's worth of... Anyway.
No, whatever.
So what's the guy saying again?
We're going to break.
Here's the thing. Threesome will disrupt the relationship.
If you think you're lesbian, this is a sort of a safe way to explore that, whatever.
Right. All right.
Well, the guy, I mean, how does it screw it up for the guy?
Guys will start having feelings about this, too,
right.
And start making cases.
If this is somebody he wanted to marry,
Oh, yeah.
It's weird because now your wife, it's like you swung with your wife. Yeah. It feels weird.
Yeah. Right.
It's potential for trouble.
Is it okay if you kill the other person after? That way there's no witnesses.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you only get to have sex with them 3 times after they're dead, and then they go bad.
That's the Geneva Convention on snuffing.
Through trial there. Now, if you live in a cold weather climate, you get 5 to 6 humpings in. But if you're out in like Florida or Arizona, two and a half, maybe.
In 2 days.
So. Yeah, they're out. Yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break. Rob Schneider here tonight. We'll be right back after this. everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Rob Schneider's our guest tonight. The Animal out on DVD, or I should say in stores on DVD tomorrow. And then 51st Dates is out the 12th?
February 13th.
Oh, 13th.
Drew Barrymore, Adam Sandler. Now, let me ask you, Doc. Yeah. You can jump into it too, my friend.
No, we can't.
Were people like not as sick in the 50s, where there's not as much damage, or was just completely underground?
I think we are in a sicker time.
Emotionally, you mean?
Emotionally.
Physical trauma.
I think trauma is a more common phenomenon. I think families are pretty well destroyed. And I think things that used to help people contain some of that have been taken away.
Like larger family structures.
All kinds of containing elements in society just aren't there anymore. It's people just spinning out of control.
Well, also, I think what Drew's saying
is... people with... Chinese stars on their nipple being held on by a barber.
That actually feels very good, though, if you have it at the right
tension. Did you see that thing she had on her nipple now?
Yeah, I did. I did see that.
I saw that actually first time was Return of the Dragon, Bruce Lee.
Yeah, she's got a nunchucks hanging from her hood.
Well, she's got a...
Have you seen that, Drew?
I haven't seen it on the Drudge Report yet.
Just, she shakes her ass just right. She's a very dangerous weapon.
That's why, when people are going to attack her crotch, they should all jump at the same time instead of one at a time. Like,
right. Well, I think what Drew's saying is...
She's got a fake boob, by the way.
It used to be that people lived in a smallish town, and it was scandalous if you had, sex out of wedlock, or it was scandalous if you got divorced.
It was just desires and stuff were suppressed, or they weren't allowed to get as crazy.
People were sort of shamed into submission.
A lot of shame. There was a lot of better connection and more respect for other people. And the reality was, we had no birth control, and you could die of an STD, die of a pregnancy.
Right.
So it was serious stuff. You wouldn't want to screw around.
Right.
So there are more repercussions or more severe, which was better, maybe.
It does. I mean, let's put it this way. If you think you might die from an activity, you may think twice about it.
But I will say my friends who grew up in the 50s said it was the absolutely most boring time.
Really?
I really just hated it. Yeah. My friend. I don't know.
No TiVo. Jennifer?
Jennifer?
You're 25? Hello?
Jennifer.
Go to 3.
All right. Alyssa?
Hi.
What's happening? You're 18.
Yeah. sorry, I have a cold.
All right.
I was wondering what the difference between bipolar and borderline personality disorder was.
In the most simplistic way possible, bipolar is a mood disturbance. Your mood fluctuates wildly.
Pick two celebrities. Like Courtney Love is...
is that all bipolar is? Just extremely moody people?
Well, not mood. At the point where, when you get manic, you disconnect from reality and start thinking all kinds of strange things, don't sleep for days at a time, and do strange things, and the depressions hit, and they start trying to kill themselves. And these are very profound fluctuations of mood. And sometimes those fluctuations take months, sometimes they take hours. By borderline is a personality disorder, although there are people that believe from a neurobiological perspective that borderline, bipolar, and post-traumatic stress disorder may be related biologically.
Meaning you saw something horrible and that as a young person or even older and that triggered the whole thing?
It's all related to early trauma, all three of those.
Mm. Jeez.
All right. Hey, but good times there, Alyssa, right?
Not really.
Okay.
So what do you have? What's your thing? Do you think you're bipolar?
No, I was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, but my therapist and some other people disagreed with it because they said you have to be an adult to be diagnosed with it.
That's true. It's sort of overused in adolescence, and bipolar is quite treatable if that's all you have. That's a good thing.
Treatable chemically?
Yeah, because it is a chemical phenomenon, yeah.
Speaking of being diagnosed, I'm going tomorrow to get the hernia checked.
Oh, yeah, I set that up for you.
Yeah, what should I, do I need to trim the pubes, or?
No, they'll take care of that, don't worry.
No, they'll do that. They'll,
no, but I mean, tomorrow, you know.
So when you're under, they do it.
Don't worry.
Sip, whap.
You're going to love this.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The check part, though.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. What goes on?
How did you get the hernia? What were you doing?
It hurts.
I blame Drew. I think Drew gave it to me.
I had a hernia repair last May.
Right. I remember that.
Yeah, I think it's hereditary, the hernia stuff, pretty much. Yeah. My dad had it, and everyone else in my family had it.
Yeah, my dad had one, too.
But what are they... What do they do? How do they check it? What do I got to look forward to tomorrow?
He's going
to
take his finger and jam it up your inguinal canal. Basically take your testy.
Uh-huh.
Do the testy behind, but take the scrotum and like insert it
there. Yeah,
yeah. Go
There's
inside.
A canal there. And, it's opening.
Right, and take that and basically extend his finger to your spine.
Should I bring my sack in the office? Because I'll leave
sack,
it in the car.
Yeah.
I want to know if I should crack the window,
just
though.
Let it drag behind a little bit.
So he's going to ram something, put his finger up. And
up a place you didn't know you had.
Yes.
And what's is farting considered bad
etiquette?
Bad etiquette.
Screaming, bad etiquette? Bad.
What's that?
Laughing bad.
What about like a hawking a loogie on the top of his bald head? Would that be bad?
What's the usual? Is a hoo 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 hoo. And then, you know, like animalistic kind of sound. Uh-huh.
Is it like the ear boxing bad?
No,
right?
The appropriate response.
Yeah.
So is
ha ha. But what he'll do though is he can see if there's a. You know where that is, right? And then poop, and then pop it back in.
I had to reduce the damn thing incarcerated here. We had to lie him on the floor and push it back in.
But so they can pop it usually
on.
Back
no,
in.
No, and he has to be operated on for sure. For sure, it's time.
All right. What kind of bedside manner is that?
Let's take a break. Talk
that's
more
it?
About it. More hernia talk.
Yeah, Rob Schneider here.
Right back with the abdominal wall in a minute.
But it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew.
Who says it? Offspring?
Well,
I love those guys.
Drew loves the Offspring.
I really do.
Nice guys, too.
Told you Dexter called me when I go flying.
How come you didn't call me?
Don't do that. Rockstar calls you for flying? That's just bad.
He's a pilot.
I got Buddy Holly's widow. We got the roadies from Skinnerd.
We're going up.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some clouds gathering. Don't worry about that. We'll fly right above that. Yeah. Head on.
I remember my brother was brother John was at the Super Bowl and coming back, and there's like Dan Aykroyd and James Brown or whatever in this old jet private, and there's an old plane. He said, "I ain't getting on that. I ain't not doing that." Now you can just read that story already.
Yeah. I wonder, I'm trying to think, like, who's the biggest flying jinx? Do you know what I'm saying?
Rock promoter.
Rock promoter's good, yeah.
Think so. And a rock star, pretty good, you know.
Yeah. I don't like, you know what I don't like to see? There's certain flight jinxes things. I don't like to see the guy with the video camera buzzing around, like a bit laughing, you know, and holding at his wife and pretending to be a bird, you know.
I don't like the number if it's like if there's too many eights in it or whatever, if you're getting off on a plane, if it just
would sound
too good, it's just like, wow, that, you know, flight 8. 08. It's like, doesn't sound.
Yeah, you wonder.
You can read about it the next morning.
I don't like it. I don't like it when a fat guy sits next to me, not because of the space problem, but because of the weight problem. Even though, logically, I understand there's, you know, 70 tons of luggage underneath me. I don't like the big lump next to me. I think, wow, this is. We're not going to be able to move with this guy. Like, I look at it as more of a bicycle than an airplane. Like, you know what I mean? When a big guy sits next to you, just kind of. I like spindly people next to me.
Would you ever want to take one of those courses that it's a survive a plane crash course?
No.
They give you like a little kit, and they give you this thing you put over your head, and it gives you like 2 minutes of oxygen to get out of the plane.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's all these sort of...
No, I don't want to take it.
First off, I do believe, by the way, that if you take a survive a plane crash course...
You're going to die in a plane crash.
You're gone up 10,000%. 10,000, because whereas God doesn't have a traditional sense of humor, he has more of a cruel,
ironic,
drunken cousin
ironic,
sense
yes.
of humor. Yeah.
Where now, here's what I think about. Well, what about these guys that you can go and get your tests? You know, they can check everything inside your body in and out and see, like, disease before or as it's happening. And I think that's a bad idea. Do you?
Drew doesn't think it works.
It does. It's BS. It doesn't work.
Okay.
It defines your anatomy in that moment. Anatomy, not disease, not biology, not anything else. Just your anatomy in that moment. And yeah, there's something to that. In that there are almost no tumors that can be preferentially detected that way that you can do anything about.
Oh, really? So basically,
except kidney.
Oh, really? So you find out because it's solid. solid
answer. Solid tumors. Now, we find a solid tumor in your pancreas pretty much
nothing to do anyway.
Lung.
So basically, you could find out you have a benign cyst and you can't do anything about it. You just know it's there forever.
You don't need to do anything about it.
You wake up in the morning and I got that cyst there. I got that going for me this morning.
So we're not quite at that. I mean, we're heading toward that direction, right?
It's not Star Trek where they wave a wand over you and you figure out what's going on.
Right. All right.
Star Trek.
Yeah, that's right. Let's talk to one. What percentage of people call Star Trek Star Trek? I would say it's in the 70s.
I would say it's lower than that.
60s? People say Star Trek.
Mm-hmm. I think that's just accent.
Huh?
I think they mean Trek.
I think it's accent, yeah.
I just thought it was Trek the whole time. A Trek doesn't mean that much to a 9-year-old. You know what
people,
I'm saying? And that's when you learn it.
Upstate New York, Star Trek. Sure.
Adrian?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, I got a question for Rob.
Yo.
Yeah, the animal was filmed in my town a few years ago over in Tacoma.
Sure.
Yeah, and I went and saw the filming, and I saw this really cool scene where you jump over a car, and then I went to the premiere over at in my town, and then we were all disappointed. None of the scenes were there, and I was wondering what's up with that.
Well, the movie was ended up being like 3 hours. It was like Dr. Zhivago, the animal. It was, and so they just we cut that whole segment out. But it's actually in the in this.
That's
DVD.
Why you got to get
the DVD.
This
one.
That's what I was going to ask you.
I think it is in this one. I know it's in the TV version.
Did you see
it on TV the other day? Yeah. And actually, it didn't really look that good, honestly. The jumping over the car, apparently I'm not able to jump over a car. Apparently I'm not that talented.
You don't look like you should be able to jump over a car.
So anyway, it just never came out that great. But it's on the TV version. We actually finished it it was on TV the other day, and it is in there. I got to tell you, the town was great. We had a great time up there.
Well, let me say this. People should not get such a huge charge out of seeing their own crappy town. Like, I do that because I grew up in North Hollywood, and that's where they film everything. Right. And I every time I watch Adam 12, it's like, he's on Magnolia. He's heading south. He's going. Yeah, I know. You lived there your whole life. You hated it. What? Yeah. So he passed the Shell station. That's the one that's on Laurel and Magnolia. It's like, yeah, no S. You drive past it every day. Is it that big a thrill to see?
I watched Freebie and the Bean when I was a kid. And oh my God, they're in San Francisco. That's where I live. It's the greatest.
It's not like there's you standing on the corner with a sign up that says, my town or something. No. It's just drive down the crappy street.
The humping of the mailbox was done in Sonoma.
All right, and that's
it. I helped the mailbox there. You'd be happy with that.
I'm going to watch it when I get home tonight. Alicia?
Yeah, hi.
You're 18?
Yeah.
Your ex-fiancé left you and screwed your best friend.
Yeah.
Oh, baby doll. And you want her back, him back.
Well, pretty much. I don't know, because, he tells me that he likes me a lot and everything, but then, when I tried, showing affection and everything, and then he started just saying, let's just be friends and everything like that.
Some people define insanity as going back to the same situation without any significant change and expecting a different result.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Wow, that's crazy.
That's good.
And you just described most of my life.
And here's a guy that, although he tells you one thing, his actions speak far more loudly about who he is and what he actually feels.
Yeah.
His words are merely to manipulate you to get you to do the things he wants.
Period. Ironically, the words are only to believed from the kind of people who don't do bad actions and deeds. You know what I mean? Well, I mean, here's what I'm saying. People go, this guy, he lied and he stole and he cheated and he raped, but then he says this.
Yeah.
Well, whatever that guy says
doesn't matter.
Right. Now, ironically, the guy who doesn't do anything bad, that's the guy you should listen to, but you don't have. He doesn't have a rap, that guy. You don't need to listen to him.
Well,
he's not doing
that
anything.
That is interesting, because guys that actually are genuine, it isn't so fluid with all that crap.
But let me ask a question. Right. Sometimes a girl will sleep with one guy and then try to create this perfect relationship out of this one guy because they still feel guilty ever sleeping with a guy. Does that make sense at all?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, because I...
Is this the first guy you've ever slept with?
No. I used to be...
Okay.
But please don't crap on the guest point.
You used to be a what?
I used to go around and I would have lots of boyfriends and I didn't really used to care about anybody. And then I got into this relationship and things just got really serious and everything. We had been...
And you want to make it work even though the guy's a jerk?
Yeah.
It's interesting how the abuser inevitably becomes the abusee.
Right.
Because she used to go around and abuse guys, and now she's getting abused.
All right, well, tell us a little about this guy.
How he sounds like a winner.
Yeah. Sounds like a delight.
He was really sweet.
Is he in a coma now and from crack OD?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm confused. I thought maybe our callers are crossing over.
No, he used to be really sweet and everything, and then she supposedly had some huge personal thing going on, and then he started being friends with her.
Oh, it's her fault then. Oh, of course.
She's got some stuff going on.
That bitch. How dare she?
She burned him with her personal thing.
Yes. She mentally manipulated him into sleeping with her.
Yeah,
I've seen that.
And now she's acting like she doesn't even want him or whatever, and I told him I was...
Alicia, we're being facetious.
Oh.
We're being facetious. This guy is a predator and an a-hole.
Yeah. And let me...
You know what? It's also a self-esteem problem. Some girls, they just don't think they're going to get another guy. You know what?
She had lots of guys.
She's just stuck on this guy.
Because this guy's an abusive a-hole. She has to have that. Her dad was an abusive.
Where's your dad?
My dad left when I was 6 months.
There you go.
Ding!
Well, this is not going to get him back.
From way downtown!
He went to jail.
There you go. That's perfect. The kind of guy she needs. Huh?
All right. Now, can you get a guy who's not like your old dad, please?
Yeah.
All right. That's enough. Okay. You're broken up. Stay that way. Okay. And let me tell you, ladies, the number one, here's what you need to do, everybody. Turn on daytime TV and then do the opposite of whatever you see.
Everything.
Whatever hairstyle you see, do the opposite. Guys, you see the guys.
From 9A to 3P.
See the guys with the sleeveless T-shirts?
Sleeveless T-shirts, the cutoff sweats, and the bad sort of greasy Nero hairdo with the bangs. Hey. You go the opposite.
Listen, this includes the daytime dramas.
Yes.
The soap operas do the opposite of what those people do.
Ladies, when you flip it on and you see the two chicks fighting it out because the one guy's nailing both of you, instead of being angry at the guy, they've chosen to turn on each other.
Yes.
That is a white trash maneuver. No Jewish chick would ever do that. Could you imagine two Jewish broads going at it?
Yeah. No, they get together and cut the guy's nuts
off. Right. Then dance on it.
You're right.
Take one each.
Oh, it's such a white. It's a real white black chick. Actually, everybody but the Jews. Jew chick never do this. Never would. I just love it. I love it when they go at each other and they start just digging in, and the guy's just got to be laughing his ass off, thinking I get to F the winner of this fight
and the loser.
And the loser. Coincidentally.
That's right.
Hopefully at the same time.
David.
Hey.
What's up?
You're 20. What's going on?
I just wanted to say, Adam, you're great. And also, I saw you guys at Stanford when you guys came down for that little talk or whatever.
Great.
Yeah, you took a little bit too many questions from the audience. Adam, you tried to throw a nut in my mouth. Remember that?
That was you?
That was you.
How wild is that?
Please put that in context, though, David.
Yeah, please.
It was a cashew, be fair.
Someone asked a question in the audience, and they came out, and they offered Adam a bunch of gifts, Crown Royale and cashews, because they liked nuts.
Somebody gave me a big can of cashews, and I decided, since we're on stage, I want to see how many rows I could throw the cashew back and get it into some guy's mouth.
Okay.
I threw it about 12, 13 rows back.
Yeah. You got somebody.
This guy.
It was like 9 or 10, Adam. But
Dave?
It was a pretty good distance, you know. About 20 feet. And
Dave broke a tooth.
Dave doesn't go to Stanford.
Yeah.
You don't go to Stanford, huh?
There. No.
You live in Palo Alto?
No, I don't. I go to San Jose State.
Yeah. Hey.
It was further than 20
Not
feet.
Not nearly as good.
The thing as far as I could throw it.
San Jose State, that's in the same Pac-10. That's almost Stanford.
Not really, Rob. And actually, I cut work a whole bunch of days over the break to actually go fishing on the Pacifica Pier.
Hey, that's from my hometown.
Yeah, I actually know that. And, always foggy in Pacifica, though. Me and my friends always say that. And, Rob,
yes,
I
know.
To say that...
strange the affect on this guy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway,
he's a Northern California kid. I got this guy pegged. Go ahead.
I just want to say, Rob, you're great, but still, there's Sandler, so you can't forget about that.
What's that?
I wanted to ask you.
Everything is a butt. Everything is but that.
What about the Sandler?
Well, let me just explain a phenomenon from years of doing the man show and dealing with the a-hole who's been crossbred with a fan. Basically, there's some farm where they take, you know, very enthusiastic, very complimentary, ravenous fans of your work, and they crossbreed them with a-holes. and that's the guy I spend my life talking to. They go like, hey, but I was there and I was on it. Yeah, man, Drew, I threw that nut 15 rows back. It's more like eight. Rob's big big fan of your work. When's Sandler going to give you another gig? you know, it's like they never.
Everything's like, everything.
Yeah,
everything.
There's.
I was wondering. I felt a little nervousness in his. You know, he's talking like.
He goes. Oh, the Pacific Pier. It's always foggy there. It's like what?
Yeah,
really. We needed to hear about the fog in Pacific Rim. It's like it sucks there.
Tell
it's
me something
fog.
I don't know.
I was in Houston and by the way, no bigger fan cross with an a hole than you find in the Boston area. By the way, I saw some. I was in Houston.
But those
saw
are at least full of enthusiasm.
He's doing some sort of celebrity whatever, and the guy called me over, and he's like, hey, Adam, come here, man. We're big fans, Adam. And I'm like, hey, what's happening? He goes, oh, man, that Kimmel, man. Whoa, you're so much funnier than Kimmel. What's Kimmel doing? What's he up to now? And I said, he's got his own network talk show. And the guy goes, dude, well, I don't know what you're doing, but you should try to get on that show. It's like, what? He flipped the compliment on me in a second. Like, 1 second he was a fan, the next minute Kimmel sucked, and now Kimmel's great, and I should be getting on Kimmel's show.
People come up to you and go, hey, that was pretty good. I saw that movie. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
They can't give it up because it's some reflection
on
that.
It was pretty good. I mean, the middle part was kind of... The beginning was good.
I would never go up to anybody and bug them. I just never would.
And how about say something even remotely...
I would
heap
positive.
A little praise and
just
then move
straight,
on.
And maybe not heap, but just straight... appreciation.
Yeah, I just, this was terrific, or I really like this, and you know, I would never want to, like, you know, have some coded thing kind of, you know.
Just even a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah.
Really. Just like, this is
transparent put down.
Hey, David.
Yeah.
All right, anyway.
Anyways,
just talking
Rob,
about you.
I really appreciate all your work that you did. You were great in Big Daddy with the Qualk Radio and all that kind of stuff. And also,
thank you.
Rob, one of the best things I've ever seen you do was that laugh that you did on the roast of Hugh Hefner after Gilbert Gottfried told that joke. That was a genuine laugh.
Gilbert Gottfried. There's certain guys that just kill me.
Yeah, he's funny.
And Gilbert just got my, you know, and plus it was just the most, you didn't see it on the show how really disgusting the jokes he was saying was.
Yeah.
He was just absolutely the filthiest. You were there that night.
That coming out of Gilbert Gottfried must be surreal.
It's just, he just kills me. And he's like a machine gun. It just pummels you, and he just always was making me laugh. He just murdered me.
Yeah, he actually went up. He did about 20 minutes when everyone was supposed to do about 6 minutes.
The filthiest.
Did the filthiest X-rated material you've ever heard in your life. I think it was an old joke, but he embellished it and delivered it impeccably. And the room was, you know, falling off their chairs. But
it
then
was unbelievable.
They couldn't show it on tape. So God knows what actually was on the finished edit. But anyway, yeah, he is really funny. What's up? Hey, David, anything else?
I just wanted to say, ask Rob if he had anything else coming up planned. I mean, like, literally promising in 50 First Dates, so I just want to know what was next. Any more, like, cross-dressing for him or talking to animals and sleeping with him?
Well, I did a couple of I did the animal one and the cross-dressing movie. I don't know. It just seemed like it was fun playing a girl. I hadn't seen anybody else really do it. And the next movie is Deuce Bigelow 2, a European Gigolo. We start filming in a month.
Where do you shoot it?
In Amsterdam, so you know you
oh,
might
really?
Want to come out and visit.
Oh my God!
Wow!
Let's go. Let's do Loveland from Amsterdam.
We got
do it.
Do it
9 in the morning.
Yeah, it'll
be awesome.
We'll do it from Johnny's Coffee Shop.
Oh, Rob, you got to include us on that.
Oh, you got to come. Okay, we'll definitely do it.
All right,
we'll work that out.
Jade. Jade.
Hello.
You're 18. What's up?
Hi. First, I'd like to say thank you for taking my call, and second, I love the sound of your sexy voices. Wow.
All right, baby doll. Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah, so my question is, I really like this guy, and I wanted the opinion of a true man on how to approach him that I like him.
Okay, first of all, if you just go up to him and say hi, and that's about it. That's all you're going to need.
Let's think about it.
What do you want from the guy?
Who is he to you? I mean, what's his relation to you?
He's my friend. I've known him for about a year and a half. And
Oh, okay.
No, Rob.
Huh?
Oh,
wait a minute. Right,
does he have a girlfriend?
No. He's really kind of mellow and shy about that kind of thing, I think.
How come he's never hit on you if you've known him for a year and a half?
That's what we're getting at here.
Okay, if it's a cute girl and I'm a single guy and I've been friends with her for a year and a half, there's something else happening.
Unless you were not available. Were you not available for some reason?
He did hit on you, right?
I was with someone else, but now I'm single.
Okay, now when you first met, were you attracted to him?
Yes. I was at the end of a really bad relationship, and I got out of it, and we started being really good friends then.
But he didn't go for it then?
No.
All right, hold on. Let's convene for a second. Uh-oh. First off, if a chick is hot and a guy is single, you need no strategy. It's like Mike Tyson saying, "I'm going to fight Dustin Diamond.
No.
What should I do?"
It's literally,
and the answer is, just go. Just show up. Just walk forward. You'll be fine.
To me, it's even worse. It's like, what's this? We've got all these sharks. We're throwing the chum in the middle. What's the strategy?
How do we get
the sharks to bite? How do we do that?
Bite?
Right. Yeah. No, there's no strategy.
No strategy. Show up. That's the strategy.
So, but I'm thinking,
but don't blame the shark. The shark thought you were its favorite meal. And by the way, do we really know what they have favorites, or do we have on there like lactose intolerant, or what's it, allergic to things like shark's favorite meal? I bet his favorite meal is anything that falls off the goddamn boat. Like
they'll eat
license plate,
lawn chair if it falls.
Like
off.
If I just took a frozen turkey, use the trebuchet and launch it off the back of it, that would be the shark's favorite meal. And by the way, shark's favorite meal is a rotting whale carcass, 13-year-old Hawaiian chick, a piece of an outboard motor. Are they really have favorite meals?
Yeah. Someone swimming with seals.
That's right.
So she would be the chump. Now, the other thing is, when a male and female get in a friendship, it always starts because somebody's attracted.
Yeah,
and then the other that brings you together.
You have to be in a relationship to get hit on, to not get hit on.
But he wasn't attracted because she was the one that was attracted to make the friendship.
So, and has he ever hit on you since?
Lately, I think he's sending me mixed signals. He's acting like a girl, like with the mind games, you know?
Like what?
Give us an example. Specific example.
Okay. I asked him why he was talking with me because I said, "Oh, you know, you probably talked to me before my time, right?" And he said, "No. Close though." And I was, you know, kind of thinking there. I might be crazy, but I could be thinking he likes me there.
Mm-hmm.
That sounded crazy. Absolutely.
Yeah, Jade, don't you don't have to bring out the Ouija board and the Rosetta Stone and stuff. Guys are very specific and very direct.
Yeah. Once in a while you run into a guy who's a little spastic, who can't get out of his own way. In which case, okay, here's real. I hate to say this, but booze must be involved. You guys must go.
He's a raging alcoholic.
He is?
Oh, not perfect. But he likes his drinks.
All right, here's the thing. If you are with him one weekend and have a couple of cocktails in an intimate environment, the truth will start coming out.
And if he doesn't go for it, then forget it.
Yes.
Okay.
But don't jump at him, because if he's not really attracted, not really wanting this to go in that direction, it's going to be very unpleasant, uncomfortable for both of you.
Yeah.
Just open the door. Just kick open the door and see what happens.
Once you opened up the whole, the breast thing, and he didn't move on that, there's something weird going on there.
Because
usually, I mean, if you're that direct to a guy and he doesn't, like, make the forward, leap onto you, then I would think
a lot, though. But he's kind of shy and reserved in that way.
Stop making excuses for him.
I don't know. I'm thinking he's got some sexual confusion, or he's just not into it.
That's right.
Go out and have a couple boozes with him.
He could be scared of you.
What happens?
Those are the two options.
Without alcohol.
Well, yeah, you can use Quaaludes.
Just be in a sort of a lone, quiet moment with
him. Why? Oh, what are you, 18? You drink wine cooler. So
No. Alone and quiet by yourself.
Yeah.
Just leave the door open. Give him a couple, drop a couple of hints and see what happens.
Yeah.
Al Green?
Yeah, little Al Green music never hurt, set the mood. Rob Schneider's in our studio tonight. The Animal out on DVD starting tomorrow. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Rob Schneider's in studio tonight. He brought us both grenade-size avocados from his own tree. So,
yes, so we have many fruits, my wife and I.
Those of you who are listening to the show, we got a caller from Wisconsin over here who's
eating her heart out.
It must be late
let's
out there.
Up. Go ahead and put
yeah,
her
let's, put, let's put her on. The point
2
is,
in the morning
is,
over
is,
there?
Yeah. Rob is either picked himself or more likely had his assistant pick large avocado.
I got a big tree and I got the pole.
This is a pineapple size or papaya sized avocado.
Let's put it this way. If I threw this at your head, you would
bad
die.
Times, yeah.
And if I put it in trebuchet,
I could do some damage.
Melissa?
At the trebuchet show.
You're calling from Wisconsin?
Yeah.
And how cold is it there tonight?
Very cold. It's like probably like 13 degrees out right now.
Mm-hmm. But it's crazy here.
It's actually warm. It's actually warmed up for them.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable last week.
Below, like, all last week.
And have you ever seen an avocado?
Yes.
Have you eaten an avocado? You've cooked with avocados?
Yes. Well, not really cook. I make dip and stuff.
Good.
And well, by the
good.
Way,
they call it dip in
you want to hear what a horrible cook my wife is? I walked in the kitchen one day, saw her peeling an avocado it was an orange.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God. And she's like, what? And I was like, are you serious? Like, did you know I was going to walk in? Like I said, you know, when I was masturbating and I said that I knew you were coming in and it was a joke, is it that kind of thing? She's like, no, this is how you do it. I was like, I'm gonna kill your mom. This is horrible. Oh, by the way, speaking of traumatizing the wife, let me just say one thing. We get to bless in 1 second. Just remind me of something. Drew, you know, we got every invention we need. It's like there's 32 different kinds of bottle openers, right?
Yeah.
Cork pullers, wine, and bottle of wine. I don't need 32. I need like two good ones or even just one. When is the toilet timer flusher thing going to come in? My wife has now discovered the third Big Duke floating in the toilet with her. And here's what happens. You know what happens? I'm on the phone.
He doesn't want to flush.
This is what happens.
No, you're doing business on the phone.
You're doing
Mr.
business.
President? Yeah,
you flush.
Sir.
You don't want people to know where you are.
You don't want them to know where you are. So you stand
and
up.
And then you get up
and
you
walk
away. And then she comes in.
And, yeah, well,
you know
I have a feeling this wasn't floating. It was left. It was a big dump.
Was it standing straight up?
And, she gave me, it was pointing toward Mecca. she gave me this one. She goes, I was in the living room and I was listening to a headphones and I was skipping rope and she came out in the hall and she just looked at me. She was like someone who was landing a carrier on a deck. She did the two fingers like, yes, you. And I said, what? And she goes, come here. She did the wave I'm skipping rope. I'm like, what? She goes, this. And she starts guiding me in. She walks me all the way down the hall through the thing, walks me on the bed. What is this? Then just right down the toilet. I'm like, all right, that's humiliating. But if I had the flood, like,
well, you know what? You can have that same sound that you wanted for the cell phone. It's a zing, zing. That zing sound could tell her not to go into the toilet for a while.
Just a timer for the toilet.
How about this?
Flushing timer.
Oh, that's
here's
the 30
deal.
Seconds. All right.
It's just a pressure. It's a pressure switch, which is after your ass gets down onto the seat, and if the cat jumps up on it, it's not activated. It's got to be more than like 70 pounds hits the seat, right? Let's make it 60 for Asians. Okay, the ass hits the seat and it clicks on. Now, after the ass comes off the seat, it flushes within 5 minutes of that time. Maybe 2 minutes. That's it. There could never, because this happens all the time to me, and I don't know why, but I'm humiliated by it.
Why are you humiliated?
Well, maybe I do. All right, but this is a good invention, right?
Yeah, it's a great. It should be. Or I was maybe the way a flush where you push it down and it starts to slowly come up before it actually.
But
engages.
The water, the flush. Yeah.
No, what you don't want is that loud noise while you're on
the
phone.
Right,
yeah. That's telling the person on the other line you're not important.
And I don't know what it is about having people thinking you're doing anything on the phone that's humiliating. Like they call you at 4:30 in the morning. Were you asleep? No. I'm right. What is that in the background? Is that the TV? No, that's nothing. Just car drove by. Are you smoking a cigarette? No. Like, why can't you do anything on the phone? Like, you talk to your best friend, but he finds out you're taking a crap. It's a big deal.
I know. I call my friend Josh Lieb. He's a comedy writer. And this guy, and I'm talking to him, and all of a sudden I hear something like, ding, bing. And I didn't find out, are you in the bath right now? He says, yeah. He's perfectly comfortable. Like,
in the tub.
In the tub.
Wow.
Hours he's in there, and he's perfectly comfortable being on the phone.
Oh, wow. I like to talk to his therapist and start using him, Melissa. It's a comfortable, confident man.
Yeah.
So, anyway, you like avocados.
Yeah.
It's 13 degrees in Wisconsin, and your question is?
I have a question. My boyfriend, we've been going together for about 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Lately, it's like he's trying to push me away, and I just don't understand why. And then it's like he'll, like, pick fights with me.
Melissa, here's the thing about...
And then relationships
at your age.
Yeah, but when he leaves me, or I leave him, I get sick of it or whatever. Or he'll say, I don't want to be with you, I just want to be friends. I'm like, okay, that's fine. And I'll get over it alone for like a week. And then he'll call me and be like, I love you, I miss you, and this and that. And then it just cycles back and forth. And it's just like, I'm getting really sick of it. And like I've told him so many times, I'm just like,
What is it that you want to do?
I I love him, but I want to leave him. But it's just like when I do and when I get comfortable, like being by myself, you know, after the first week, it's just like, oh, okay, you know, I can do something.
Okay, a couple things here. First of all, I think that I love him, but I want to get away from him. I don't think that exists after 35. It's like, no. I'm done. I'm going to get away. That's it. You don't fool yourself anymore with that.
No, you pray one of your friend's bones or so.
By the way, just take it easy on yourself because it's extremely common. Everyone, this is like, you know, the guy, he wants something else. The grass is greener, and a week later he realizes, you know, I got this, though.
Does he have sex when he comes back with you?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Well, stop that. Stop that, and he'll stop coming back.
Yeah.
That's what he's coming back for.
But see, I need it, too, you know? So it's like, okay, whatever, you know?
All right. But let me make this analogy. That Drew, you know, I don't know what the average time, you know, people quit drugs or cigarettes or booze or whatever it is they're trying to quit. It's 3 or 4 times before it takes.
Yeah.
And the same with relationships. You've been with somebody for 3 years, especially, you know, she's 20, so she got 16, 17 years old.
Couple shots.
You break up, and then you get back, and then you break up, and you get back. So it's just like two, three times
max
before it actually takes. And as you get older, you just start realizing, hopefully, that when you break up the first time, maybe should just stick with that plan instead of bouncing back. But this thing is sort of, this is what happens when a relationship is sort of coasting to a stop.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, you know,
eventually, if you don't quit, he's going to quit.
Like when a car's running out of gas, every once in a while it catches, and it's like, you know, but it's running out of gas, but it'll catch every once in a while.
But you know what caused it finally to grind to a halt, right?
Her love of avocados and living in Wisconsin.
Somebody does something with somebody.
Yeah,
somebody finds somebody else. That's it. Pow. Just boom. Now it's over. Yeah. That's it.
It would be nice if there was an event that made it sort of that you couldn't get past. You know what I mean? That,
right. But she hasn't set any boundaries in this relationship with this guy. She keeps taking him back, and so he gets what he wants.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she's feeling like not the most highest self-esteem in the world, so she keeps taking him back. And you just got to find, if this is the guy you really want to spend time with?
No.
Yeah, okay.
They just break up. And look, anyone who's been with anyone from 17 to 20 needs to break up anyway.
Right, and otherwise, it's good to be alone for a while and to scare yourself. Like, I don't know what I could be alone. It's good to explore the I don't know what it's like to be alone.
Yeah.
Right. Plus, then what happens? You get engaged to somebody you've been sort of on and off
with.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
Yeah, just break up.
He was somebody you're excited about.
Paul?
Yeah.
A man who shares your passion for avocados. Huh. What's up, Paul?
I'm great.
Hold on. I don't like this exporting of our fruits and vegetables to other places. You know, it used to be one of our things. Like, hey, Hawaiians had their pineapples, we had our avocados, and we could laugh at other cities and states. Now everyone's got something.
Everyone's got everything, though. I've got a patient brings a bunch of Hawaiian papayas every time they come in. And
that's
nice. They brought a bunch, and they are so good.
It's nice, but if you live in Hawaii, you got to be angry. You got to be angry about that.
If you're Hawaiian.
Yeah.
It's like tumbleweeds in Hawaii, a papaya. They're just everywhere. They grow like weeds.
So good.
They're amazing.
I love that. Oh, little lime on there.
Got it.
What's happening,
Paul?
Indigenous originally to Brazil, but...
Really?
Yeah. What they make fun of is the Portuguese over in Hawaii.
Oh, really?
The Portuguese guys, the ones they make fun of, yeah.
They don't have Pollocks
the Hawaiians make fun of that?
Pineapple's also from Portugal. I mean, I'm sorry, from Brazil.
The Hawaiians make fun of the Portuguese?
Yeah, that's the person they make fun of. It's like the Chinese and the Hawaiians and they make fun of the Portuguese. I don't know why.
Yeah. Huh.
Just the way it works out.
Hey, Paul?
Yeah. Hey.
Paul?
Yeah, here.
Go ahead.
What's happening?
Yeah, I can't go to sleep unless I have sex or masturbate.
Me either. Okay, next call.
Yeah. So what?
You're a guy.
What'd you do?
You know, it's a choice. If a choice, sure, who wouldn't want to? Are you saying you think you have a problem?
Yeah, because I have a girlfriend and we have sex like 5 to 6 times a day.
Come on.
No.
I don't know if something's wrong.
It's bogus. It's bogus. I don't know if something's wrong. I like, here's how you know it's bogus, no question.
Yeah.
I bang the bejesus out of my girlfriend 8 times a day. So, do you know what the problem is? It's like, you got a boner, you idiot. Check off.
Problem is, it's too self-congratulatory towards you.
Here's the reason, guys. You know, guys beat off before they go to bed, not because they can't do it or they won't. You know, they have to do it or they won't be able to go to sleep. It's because they know it's going to be a good 8 hours before they can do it again. It's, to me, it's like why you take a leak before you take a drive to San Francisco. It's like, you know, there's no toilet in your car. You got to get one in. It's gonna, you're going to be down for a while.
It could happen, earthquake or something.
Sure. Well, okay. Yeah. Meteor. Yeah. Let me give you an example. You didn't beat off, and now like a missing piece of a Skylab goes right through your bedroom and crushes you.
Yeah.
And there you are.
Oh, that's
it's a tragedy.
Here's what gets me. Here's what I always think about. Like tonight, I was on the way over here. So you know, I better pick up a little dinner. So I make my buddy stop at a place and get some food. Now I'm going by the food section in Wild Oats there, and there's sushi.
Right.
And I'm thinking, if you're going to buy sushi at a supermarket, chances are it's not bad, but if it is bad, no one's going to feel sorry for you. Well, like, what were you thinking getting sushi
in a supermarket?
Just like, you know, people who go out and do those, like, parasailing in Mexico, and then they get killed throwing the rocks. Well, what were you thinking parasailing in Mexico? You know, so I'm always thinking of, like, if what you're going to get sympathy from or not. When you do something. Sleeping with a Haitian hooker. But what were you thinking without a condom? Why, you know?
Right. And it is true that the fact that you're gone is secondary to how, you know, what took you out.
Yeah.
I'm convinced I'm going to be crushed by something frozen, a piece of food, like a pot roast or
something. Or how about that gigantic, you know, when the ice that comes out of the toilet.
Ice.
No, the toilet from
ice.
The plane, yeah.
Yeah, they call it blue ice.
Blue ice? I don't know the term.
What?
The stuff, sometimes there's a leakage of the
blue
plane.
Blue ice, true.
That'll be frozen at 30,000 feet from a plane, and it's the blue, liquid.
The toilet stuff,
From the toilet, and it'll actually leak out from the plane, and it will drop and be a chunk of ice and could just kill you.
Hey,
yeah,
you
yeah.
didn't know that?
Urban myth.
No. It went through a guy's boat and stuff.
Oh, my God.
Well, here's the whole thing about planes and boats and all forms of transportation before just a few years ago. Somebody was like, look, we're 30,000 feet in the air. Why should we store a big barrel of poop to bring back with us to the airport, for Christ's sake?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not,
we're over
not,
the ocean. Who's going to know?
Not bringing macadamia nuts back from Hawaii. We got a big tub of, you know, we got enough weight. First off, there's weight issues on the plane. Secondly, who wants a big tub of crap? Well, just, we're over the Atlantic. We're 35,000 feet in the air. It's just drop in the ocean.
Yeah.
Cruise liners used to do this, too.
Wait, trains in Europe.
People
trains
in Winnebago's.
Tracks,
right?
Whole, yeah.
And trains in Europe, they just dump it out?
Yeah, it's just a hole. It just goes right under the track.
Yeah. I think this, you know, maybe this stuff. Now, people never did this back when they just rode bicycles. Did they? Just guys crapping while they're riding that bike with a giant wheel?
Yeah, but in England,
in the
Middle Ages, what they do, they just throw the crap over the fence. If I don't see it, if the neighbor doesn't throw it back, I'm sure I'm going to put it.
All right.
Until they start throwing it back, and then the plague.
Yeah, then came the decorative popcorn tin, and then he falls into the toilet.
All right,
let's take ourselves a little break. Rob Schneider here tonight. We'll be right back.
Yeah!
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Aisha Tyler's in here tomorrow night, and then Jeff Probst is going to be in here from Survivor. And I'm a big fan of Survivor. I watch it every season. So I'm.
I watched after the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I couldn't get into it.
I hate reality TV, but I watched it.
Yeah, I do
too. My wife's a big fan of this reality stuff. I have to admit, it was like pummeling of, you know, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, The Real World, and MTV's got these shows. They don't even play music on MTV anymore. It's just these shows. It's relentless, you know. But watching something, and you know, it's just like a car crash. I don't know if it's good. I don't know if it's bad. But I'm going to watch it while the impact is happening.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's just everybody getting in everyone's face and confronting everybody.
Can you imagine how weird it is? Can you imagine somebody like Rod Serling looking at television in modern culture now go, well, Rod, here's the idea. Well, what's on the air now?
No, he's going to be submitted for your approval.
Yeah, submitted for your approval.
He's going to be thinking.
A group of 10 bachelors. One of these will pick, you know. Like, what?
I find myself getting uncomfortable with certain rituals involved with, like, the, you know, she's going on a date with one guy and making out with him, that she's out with another guy and she's making out with him. I get sort of humiliated for everybody involved and want to avert my gaze. But Survivor, at least there's an object and sort of a theme and a game to play. Yeah. I'm all right if they sort of pick a direction other than just out-and-out humiliation.
Mm.
John?
Oh.
John, you're 18.
Yeah, 18. Yeah.
Where's
by the
Jermaine?
Way, Adam, I think you're like a freaking god. And Drew, you're like a genius. And Rob, I think you're real time. I'm a big fan. I love doing the hot shake. That was pretty awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, anyways. Oh, well, okay, here's my problem. The thing is that recently, I don't know why, like, I have no idea. But the thing is that I've been having problems with, like, masturbation. It's like it doesn't happen as often as it did before.
What are you, 30? Like...
How long have you been off your usual pace?
Yeah, 18.
Excuse me?
How long have you been off your usual pace?
I don't know. It's been, a couple months, actually. Probably right. 3 or 4 or 5 months, you know?
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and by the way, let me tell you something about masturbation. But it's any time you want to achieve a goal, you don't sit around and wait for opportunity to come knocking at your door.
It's right there
you
in front of you, pal.
You start beating off. It's like his son is like he hasn't been visited by the beat off fairy.
You just got to set a goal. You just got to set yourself a goal.
I know, Adam, this is hard for you to imagine, but most men beat off when they have an impulse to do so. They have a desire to. Things build up, then they go. They don't wait. They don't unload before
and wait till one of those guys doesn't do it before he goes to bed, and as Rob says, a meteor or a light aircraft, police helicopter, something crashes through the roof and kills them.
And on the way, when you hear that piercing noise on the way down, the last thing they'll think is, I should have jacked. Bow!
That's right.
John, have you started any medication or anything like that?
No, actually not at all. Is it abnormal for me to do it only when I have the urge or what?
No, that's normal. How often do you have the urge?
In a day, probably sometimes not even at all. Like in a week, it'll probably happen about twice or three times a week. You know,
that's perfectly normal. That's fine. You're perfectly normal. Just chill out and go enjoy the rest of your life. This is not a problem.
For real? And not at all. Okay, because
you're fine.
I'll have pains in my scrotum too,
You're screwed then. No,
both
I take
sides?
It all back.
Both sides are.
You're going to drop dead in a week, and everything's your balls are going to fall off.
think how far we've come from the day when the guy was like, I can't talk about masturbating. There,
no, it's crazy.
Now it's
I'm not doing it
three
enough.
Times a week. Yeah, it's oh my friends.
Now a little pain down there. If you haven't had unprotected sex, that's normal. You're fine. Don't worry about it. Don't be so paranoid. Get a hobby outside of your pants.
You can get epididymitis, and you can
what?
You could get a testicular torsion.
Is that?
Pretty common.
No.
Yeah,
what?
Pretty common.
Testicular what?
Torsion where the testes twists on itself.
It's a pain
I've
persists.
I've never
doctor,
known anybody
right?
who has that.
Well, I've seen a few hundred cases, but there's but, the point is if something really hurts, get it looked at. But it's probably nothing.
Rob only knows Sandler and the guy beats off in the tub when he talks to him on the phone. Those
yeah,
two
so
guys
those
you know.
Two guys are fine now.
No torsion, then it doesn't exist. Sure. All right, let's talk to Sam, who's 19 years of age. Sam.
Yeah.
Oh, Sam the chick.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that. What's up?
First of all, I want to say hi. And I wanted to ask Rob if you could do an Elvis impersonation.
That's huge, right? I just want to say, that's huge. I'm going to go out later and get some pumpkin pie. I don't know how I'm going to come by here a lot. I don't know. Just the Elvis, with the young girls was always kind of creepy to me. But I know he must have talked to him like this. All right.
I talked to a woman that dated Elvis. She's the mom of a friend.
Wow. What was her name? Paige?
No.
What was her name?
No. But no, she just had one date with him. Just one date.
Okay.
And she
was
said
she 16
it was,
at the time or not?
She was, I forget the story. She was like a sort of neighbor au pair, and he spotted her and liked her, and the date was set up. And she said he's everything weird and bizarre and awful.
Let me tell you,
he was intoxicated and dry. He fell asleep.
Well, how old was he? At the time. Older Elvis?
Middle older.
But I'll tell you, that was must have been the Vegas years.
Yes.
Some in the 70s.
Just prior.
Because my cousin, who was from the Bay Area. Her best friend was there's a whole chapter in Elvis What Happened about her.
Really?
She was 16. Here's the weird thing. And she told me about the story. And she was still a knockout when I met her when she was in her 40s. Anyway, she was 16 and she traveled with her mom to Vegas. And then she had a big teddy bear in the front row and everything. And then after she sat out, somebody, came backstage and said, E would like to see you. She was able to figure that out. And so then he takes her up to his room and they're talking and, just whatever, in his bedroom till 5 o'clock in the morning. Finally, Elvis says, oh, by the way, how'd you get here? So my mom said, where's your mom? Said, oh, she's down in the diner waiting for me. The mom let the mother take, let the kid go up with Elvis. Well,
oh,
Elvis, it's my daughter, but you're Elvis, till 5 o'clock in the morning. Isn't that crazy? And then they got her a hotel room. Just crazy.
No.
But anyway,
my dad did that with Paul Lynn. He offered me
really,
yeah. No, it was 1976, 75.
No.
Yeah, it was one of the bigger names of the time. Yeah, yeah. He just waited in the lobby. I blew Paul. he was wearing a kerchief at the time. That's all. Just that. And a
tan. Hey, he was funny. Funniest center square ever. And Fallman.
Sam.
Yeah.
What's happening?
So what's the deal? I forgot already.
Oh yeah, I almost forgot too. Well, I classified myself as one of those girls who has to have the guy that I can't have, or whatever.
Why don't you stop doing that?
Because you're the girl that a lot of guys can't have.
Why don't you stop doing that?
No, I'm the girl that wants the guys that are unavailable.
We got it. Why don't you stop doing that?
Well, isn't it sort of a rite of passage? I mean,
yeah, it's time to stop.
Yeah, but does this behavior stop or does it wear off? You know what I mean?
It wears out.
It's more like when you get tar on your foot at the beach. Well, you know, you just wear it off.
Well, through emotional, beatings. You finally discover that this is not something that's rewarding. It's something that's punishing me, and I'll stop doing it.
That's right.
Right.
Well,
yeah, but it's sort of like gambling in that, but there's the next score around the next corner. I could do it. But, yeah, eventually you lose enough and just stop going to the casino. And, Sam?
Yeah.
All right.
But how unavailable is this guy? Yeah. Is he your teacher? What is he, your girlfriend's boyfriend? Is it your friend of your dad's? I mean, how unavailable is this guy?
Oh, no. He's my ex-boyfriend. And it's just like we keep going back and forth, and I hate that. So I tried dating, like, the boy.
Can you lie and say it's your dad's best friend just to make this conversation more interesting?
Yeah, that's what Rob can say. I knew it. And then say I have a gift. And then
No, so what? It's a boyfriend, and what's the deal? Now you want him back, and he's with somebody else?
Oh, no. We keep getting together and breaking up.
Speaking of breaking up, we got to take a break. We did cover it. It's a rite of passage. Here's what you got to do in this.
Find another guy.
Yeah. Don't get pregnant in the many back and forth because you get off birth control. He puts the condoms away. It's spontaneous. He shows up drunk.
Right,
you get pregnant. Now you got a kid.
Now you got to live with this person that you really, really don't want to be with.
Right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew and Rob Schneider. And that's the end of the show.
Is that it?
That's it.
I thought tonight would be the night we're going to go to 4 in the morning.
We could, but then again, maybe not.
Animal is the name.
We'll
of the
do that when
one.
We're in Amsterdam.
Yes,
we'll broadcasting
Amsterdam,
together.
We'll do 20 hours
in the summer. Yeah,
straight.
Yeah, we'll do one of those bad DJ things where the guy spins records for 44 straight hours while he just drinks coffee and does trucker speed, and somehow it's a testament to the guy. And by the way, I don't want to hear a guy spin up for 45 hours.
No.
Rob Schneider, The Animal, which is out tomorrow on DVD. It's got all the added footage, deleted scenes, and it's got Bobby Barsini actually giving commentary.
Bobby Barsini actually being torn in half.
By Jim. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
First, I'd like to say thank you for taking my call. And second, I love the sound of your sexy voices. Wow.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.